God is leading Israel in joy by the light of his glory, with his mercy and justice for company. That's really excellent stuff, my friends. Such a magnificent message from the prophet Baruch in today's first reading. And this is precisely what God wants to do for each and every one of us. And Advent really brings this reality to light so abundantly and so beautifully. But we first have to recognize this desire of God before we can accept it. And John the Baptist steps right in. He's all about this recognition, pretty forcefully at times. And we see that in today's gospel message with him crying out in the desert. Recall how we heard that he traveled far and wide along the region of the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Notice that it didn't say he was walking around just giving people high fives and saying, "You're a neat person, you're great, pat on the back, yeah, you're good, you're awesome." No, he's proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Something needs to change. That's the message from him. Whatever you're doing in your life, you gotta re-examine here. You're not completely giving yourself to God. That's kind of what John's trying to say here. The only way we can truly see as the Lord does, and then thereby live life to the full, is by recognizing and then rejecting our sins. Most of us can't go more than a couple of hours without sinning, and I'm included there, much less months or years. But I hear people say, "Oh, it's been 8 months since I went to confession, maybe even 8 years." But I don't need to go to confession. I haven't killed anybody, you know. Come on, that's confession. That's just a medieval carryover, you know. That's rubbish. Don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself. We can't go more than a couple hours without getting mad at somebody, without overindulging with food, without lustful thoughts, entertaining lustful thoughts, or whatever it may be. We can't go more than a couple hours. Maybe if we have a good stretch, maybe a day. But let's be honest with ourselves. Heed that voice crying out in the desert and prepare the way for the Lord in your heart. That's what Advent is all about. It's all about preparing for Christmas. Christmas season hasn't begun yet. We have a ways to go. "Every valley shall be filled and every mountain and hill shall be made low," the Baptist cries out. He's quoting Isaiah, of course. "The winding road shall be made straight and the rough ways made smooth." In one sense, he's pointing to the end of time here. Right at the end, he says, "All flesh shall see the salvation of God." That's when Jesus comes in, cruising in on the cloud, you know, at the end of time, and the end of he recreates heaven and earth. But John's also alluding to your sins. Think of these mountains and hills as the mountain of your pride, right? Your ego. And what about these valleys and these rough ways? That's carved out by your sins, creating all this rough and strange terrain, hard to navigate. God wants to smooth all that out so that there's no resistance to him in your heart, so he can come right in and do the wonderful work that only he can do. And so if you allow God to remove your sins to do this, then you can begin to see and experience his salvation even now. You don't have to wait till the end of time. Getting back to that first reading now, Baruch is encouraging you to do exactly the same thing. "Take off your robe of mourning and misery. Put on the splendor of glory from God forever. Be wrapped in the cloak of justice from God." Now that's more great stuff. Cast off that robe of sin and darkness. That's what he's talking about when he says the robe of mourning and misery. Get rid of that mourning and misery and put on the splendor of God's amazing redeeming grace and his saving justice. There's a link there. You might have caught it to last week. Remember, justice and righteousness was a big theme last week. It carries over into today. Much like the Jewish exiles of old, and so that's Baruch is writing. He was Jeremiah's secretary, so he's writing in the time of the Babylonian exile. So much like those exiles that were carted off to Babylon, you have been led away into exile by your enemies. And think now of your enemies as your sins. But Just like those exiles, us, the exiles of today, are remembered by God, we heard. Beautiful. And He will bring you back from exile if you allow Him to. He will indeed lead you in joy by the light of His glory, with His mercy and justice for company. I know you already heard that once, but it bears repeating. It's so beautiful. His mercy and justice, that's our lifeline. Without His mercy, we'd be wiped off the face of this earth. We'd be goners, right? And then He gives us His justice so that we can continue to walk in the light of His glory, full of His joy. That's what Baruch's getting at. That's how we're meant to live. And God yearns to do this at all times and delights when you say yes and allow Him to. And by saying yes, St. Paul's words from today's second reading are fulfilled in you all the more as you allow the One who began a good work in you. Now, who is the One? He's talking about God, of course. But what is the work that He's begun in you? Baptism. He's united you to the body of Christ. So, allow the One who began a good work in you to continue to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. He continues to help us to welcome these baptismal graces, welcome the sacramental life of the church, the three-legged stool. Every single day He wants us to go deeper and deeper until the day of Christ Jesus. So we're ready when He comes, of course. So there you have it. God wants you to flourish now, every day, as you journey towards eternal glory with Him in heaven. He wants you to be led with joy in His glory now, with His mercy and justice in tow. And what a splendid, amazing journey this is. Your love will increase, as St. Paul prays, more and more in knowledge of and every kind of perception, to discern what is of value, so that you may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, for the glory and praise of God. Now there's another whopper. We have some really excellent lines in today's scriptures. This is just amazing what Paul is praying for. And what happens when we walk with, it's not some kind of pie in the sky. It happens when we walk with the Lord. Our love is, it grows in perception to know what really matters, what's of value, so that we can be pure and blameless, full of the Lord's righteousness. This is a great way to live. It's the best way to live, as a matter of fact. And so note again the connection to last week. This journey is one of justice and righteousness, fundamentally. That's how we know how to live. And we know that the justice, it says, comes through Jesus Christ, right from His side, right there. See the water and the blood coming out? That's where justice comes from, or that's where righteousness flows out. Justice is the cross. Jesus going to the cross for us. And so this is why it's extremely important for your love to grow in knowledge and perception, so you can discern what is of value, what really matters, and then choose what really matters, what is of value over what is not. There's so much garbage out there that is not of value. Most of what the world esteems, as a matter of fact, is not really of value. It doesn't mean it's all bad necessarily, but in the end, these are things we don't take with us to heaven. All this stuff that they're clamoring right now, all these commercials, you go downtown, buy this, spend your money, who cares, you know, you got to buy this. It doesn't matter if you need it, just buy it. Come on, it's fun. Go for the gold, right? Spend all your money just because that's what everybody else is doing. No, what is really of value? What really matters? God's joy that's beyond all understanding. He wants you in joy to be led by the light of His glory. That's what really matters, bringing forth the harvest of justice that He wants us to bring forth. That's what matters. And so by making these choices, choosing what is of value, you then become increasingly just and blameless, increasingly free, increasingly full of that peace and joy beyond all understanding, and yes, increasingly prepared for Christ's final return. Okay, so how can you allow God to continue His good work in you each day, and in a particular way during Advent? Well, Advent is a penitential season, right? We got the penitential colors. And so in penitential seasons, what do? Prayer, fasting, almsgiving, right? That's like a battle cry during Lent. Why don't you hear about it during Advent? I don't know. But you do at Resurrection Parish, I can guarantee you that. Now, it's not on the same level as Lent. I'm not trying to confuse that, but still, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Advent, as we mentioned earlier, is all about preparing spiritually for Christmas, which, sorry to burst your bubble, but it doesn't begin until the evening of the 24th of December. That's when Christmas season begins. So don't jump the gun. Now, yes, go and have fun. Go do some shopping. I'm not demonizing that kind of stuff. Have parties with your friends. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But our primary responsibility is to prepare our hearts to receive the Lord at Christmas like never before, more completely than we ever have. So practically, what does this mean? Well, make more room and make more time for silence and prayer in this season. And I know you're looking at me saying, give me a break. You know, look, this is the last week of classes. We got finals. What are you talking about, Willis? You know, come on, man. What are you talking about? Then there's all this other busyness of, you know, what am I going to do for my Christmas break? You're like, come on. Make a little bit more room and you won't be disappointed. God's going to help you get your schoolwork done. He's going to help you and the people in the working world. You're not going to suffer by giving more time to God. I'm not saying try to become a monk or a nun, but just give a little bit more time. Allow Him to be the light amidst the darkness in your heart. And we do all have a little darkness in there from our sins, but also the darkness in the world. Physically, things are getting darker, right? We have less light just because the sun's farther south, but there's other darkness in our world. Allow Him to be your light. Make a good confession this Advent. Do a good examination of conscience and make a good heartfelt confession. Come to daily Mass if possible. Of course, come to Sunday Mass, all the Sundays, and then Holy Days. By the way, there's a Holy Day this week. Hint, hint, Immaculate Conception. But yeah, if you're able to come to daily Mass, do. Give the Lord a little bit more time. I guarantee you won't suffer from doing that. Now, in terms of fasting, maybe just cut back on your snacking. You know, there's all kinds of people bake all kinds of good stuff. We have a bunch of good stuff out there, by the way, in the gathering space. So the Lord's not some kind of ogre, like you can't eat any good things, you can't have any fun. Just cut back a little bit. And then the 10% challenge. I talked about that last week, but for those of you that weren't here, what I'm talking about, and I wish I could remember where I got this idea. It's not original for me, but take 10% of the money that you normally spend on Christmas, on gifts, on booze, on food, on decorations, on ski trips, whatever it is. Take 10% of that, give it directly to the poor. Preferably on the local level, right here in our community, or maybe in your home community, but nationally or internationally, that's fine too. I just heard about when I came back from this retreat that I gave last night after Mass, a lady told me, yeah, there was like Denton, Montana, the whole town burned down. I guess the wind was blowing and power line. So maybe the people in Denton are in trouble, right? Now the wind's blowing up there. It always blows up there, and the snow, and I mean, these people are hurting. So that could be a good way. But also take that amount of time that you would normally spend shopping and putting up Christmas decorations, skiing, whatever it is, give that directly to the poor. Maybe get crazy, 25%, 50%. Oh, I get 50%, Christmas is going to be a disaster, right? Wrong. You're never going to lose out by giving to the Lord. And you're probably aware, but from the 26th of December to the 1st of January, there's an awful lot of returns going on. A lot of those gifts that you give people, they take them right back because they don't need them or they don't want it or whatever. So focus on quantity instead of quality. And you're still going to have good celebrations with your family. There's still going to be gifts under the tree. Trust me. You will be blessed. It'll be the best Christmas you've ever had. Now this, what I'm talking about, friends, is of course the path to conversion. And we know that it's not easy. It's just not. But we also know that it is amazing, exciting, and transformative. So yes, at times you may go forth weeping, sowing in tears, as we hear the psalmist proclaim today. Think of this in struggling in terms to let go of your will and do God's will, letting go of sin. But you will undoubtedly reap rejoicing. You're going to come back rejoicing with this great harvest in hand, this harvest of God's justice, His peace and joy in hand to share with others. This is how the cross leads you to victory. as you die to yourself and rise to new life in Christ. And the psalmist is right. Nailed it here. The Lord has indeed done great things for every one of us, but often we don't realize what he's doing because we're distracted and blinded by sin. And now one example of this is the Eucharist. 80% of Catholics don't even come to Mass. 70% of Catholics don't even believe that Jesus is really present in the Eucharist. That's a problem. But then there's a lot of us that do come to Mass. We're like kind of mummies. Like, okay, we come in, they play the opening song. We kind of mumble along with it. And then we stand up and sit down. When somebody says something, the priest does this. And we kneel. And then we amble up here and receive the Eucharist. And then we, you know, go back out and go drink beer and watch football. Like nothing ever happened. This is the greatest gift this side of heaven. And this happens to me too sometimes, by the way. And I consecrate the Eucharist. Sometimes I realize, what was I thinking? What was I doing? I was out in left field here. Come on. Get it together. This is the supreme gift. So let us ask the Lord for the grace to see it as such in this wonderful and holy season. Yes, he has done great things for each of us. And guess what? He wants to continue surprising you with great things. So let's just get out of the way. Stop frustrating his grace, holding back from letting him come into our hearts, and let him work freely within us. I'm going to close with the opening prayer for today. We're going to revisit it because it very beautifully and succinctly pulls all these elements together, gives us good encouragement. Almighty and merciful God, may no earthly undertaking hinder those who set out in haste to meet your Son, but may our learning of heavenly wisdom gain us admittance to his company.